You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Oh yeah. Welcome back to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got the internet sweetheart, the number one good and golden boy, talking, of course, about Jordan. Jordan, how's it going?
Going okay. How are you?
Trying my best. I'm on the struggle bus right now, but we're going to do a killer episode anyway. You know why that is, right?
Because we have our special, well, I guess it's not golden boy, our, I don't know. We need a good nickname.
We have the only Breno specifically outlawed in the Geneva Convention. I'm talking, of course, about Brenocide.
The sale of me is illegal beyond state lines.
Yes. So we're not going to have on Brenocide Milosevan Sladobovich or whatever?
Yeah, it's like, if you want to come fuck me, you have to come to Massachusetts, which I wouldn't bother.
Massachusetts, never been. Don't think it's going to happen. I do want to see Breno, though.
I mean, we could probably meet somewhere a bit more southern. You don't have to come here. You really don't.
What's a good state near you?
Texas. I don't know, man. The Northeast is just such a blight town lately. I don't know how else to describe it. Everything's closed. The roads are shittier than ever. Every building within a 400-mile radius is dilapidated. It's just like, why do people pay so much to live here?
I've kind of been wondering that myself. But Texas itself is rapidly rationing up the cost, so we'll meet you real soon.
Oh yeah, it's like impossible to buy a house or rent anywhere right now. So I don't know. I don't know what most people are doing besides living in their mom's basement if they don't have the other two choices.
Yeah, no, and if you do have that option, I mean, hold on to that for as long as you can.
Right.
Rent is a damn crime.
Yeah, and your mom should sell the house because she's going to make bank.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, the question is, where do you go? Are you ready for, like, you know, an assisted living home, or, like, you know, are you... Wait, what's the plan? You got to have a plan. But regardless, we got a lot of things. We have a shit ton of things that we need to address here, and they're all vitally important.
Quite frankly, too many things.
It's an embarrassment of riches of embarrassments, and I don't know. Where do you guys want to dive in? Because we can easily fill up the whole hour with dumb bullshit.
I think we need to crack right into the most vital headline of this whole week. Like, the one that really just stopped the fucking presses and couldn't be any bigger or bolder or blacker on Metal Injection's page here. This was spread all over Twitter. It was huge, amazing news that everybody, you know, in this pandemic times, we have so few things going on. But this matters. This is important. And here's the headline as written. Slipknot's clown will get the COVID-19 vaccine.
Ooh. Oh, thank God. The Denzel Washington hand on his chest gift.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just.
I had been spending a lot of late nights wondering, pondering about this exact scenario. So I'm relieved to find some closure here. He will, you said, get the vaccine?
So most people, as far as I know, should be and will be getting this COVID-19 vaccine, but I also think it's really critical that we report that Slipknot's clown, Sean Crahan, born name, but clown, Slipknot's clown, will get the COVID-19 vaccine. He will get it.
This is vital, and I think this is good for the community in general. Now, this does leave some open questions. Mm. For example, is the turntable guy also going to get the vaccine?
You're referring to Sid Wilson, and we're still waiting on that news report, and we will have it on our desk here when that occurs. Something that's very interesting about this particular piece of news is that Clown revealed his decision to somebody that we know, love, and love, and just very close to our hearts. I don't know how this got set up or where this came from or why this interview was occurring the way it was, but he revealed his decision to behemoth vocalist and guitarist. I'm talking about Adam Nurgledarski in a
what
recent
a
episode.
Fucking meeting of the minds.
The foreheads.
The Electric Theater with Clown, apparently, is this some sort of, and I had no idea. This must be Clown's podcast. Do people listen to Clown's podcast?
I mean, we should be. The Electric Theater, you said?
Why wouldn't you go with like the Electric Circus with Clown?
Yeah. I do like hearing stories about this guy just because he seems like a genuinely, you know, kind of dumb guy, and that makes for more interesting results than, you know, somebody that's, let's say, you know, smarter but more evil.
At the same time, he is in one of the most successful metal bands of the past 30 years without actually really playing any instruments. I mean, I know he plays drums occasionally, but that's not necessary, and I know he hits a keg with a baseball bat, but that doesn't really count. He's still a multi-millionaire from this.
Well, he's the guy from the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones that wears a suit and dances, essentially.
Who they just put out a new music video this week, and what? The video is just that guy dancing.
We finally have a second ska song. That's amazing. that's bigger news than anything. But back to metal. So there's kind of a long-winded set of quotes here from Clown about this whole situation, and if you guys don't mind, I think I just want to read through them really quick.
Enlighten us.
Okay, so let's start off here. So Clown starts off by saying, I haven't had a flu shot in 20 years, and I haven't had the flu in 20 years. But let me take it a step further. Do I agree with the vaccine? Uh-oh, here we go. I don't know what I agree with. I know I know I don't want to be told to do anything. I've never been told I had to get the flu shot, but I'm being told, and this could have changed, I don't like talking about things unless I know they are facts. But I've heard this from a reliable source, good, that Canada is going to make it mandatory. To be able to come into Canada, you're going to have proof of the vaccine. So I've never had to get a flu shot to go anywhere, but now to do my living, I'm going to have a vaccine, proof of it, to go to Canada. So normality for me is that now I just need Japan to say that. I need North America to say that. I need South America to say that. And guys, I just quick brief aside, Canada is in North America. I need South America to say that. Australia, New Zealand, once everybody jumps on, then I know we're in it together. I don't think we're not in it together now. I think the right people were offered the shot first, and then it opens up as it's created knowledge. And he continues, believe it or not. Am I going to get it? Well, no one can even prove I'm the real Clown anyway.
What?
What? So, okay. So if I don't want it, I can continue that and just play it off and just disappear. Like maybe I have already. I mean, this could be a simulation. But I believe in it, and I want a tour. And most importantly,
did he actually say this could be a simulation?
This could be a simulation. Yeah.
Oh.
I think well, Metal Injection, they put in brackets. I mean, this conversation could be a simulation. Maybe he says he's talking about what you're hearing right now. But I guess we'll have to just keep reading to find out what he meant. But I believe in it, and I want a tour. And most importantly, as long as my family gets it and wants me to get it, then I'll get it because I want to be able to hug my fans again. I want to be able to embrace the people that have needed me and that I've needed. And the way that I've been explained by the doctors I go to, they basically say, hey, get the vaccine. Because God, what damn. We do, we're going to be around a lot of people that aren't going to take it and they're going to be sick. There's going to be a lot of healthy people. There's going to be a lot of people that are naysayers that aren't going to. And you know what? This goes on. I don't think we need to hear any more of this. It's just like, why explain it? What? Why is this news? Why am I having to like hear this guy out as far as him like apologizing for this almost? You know what I mean?
I would love to hear his internal monologue when he's trying to pick a fucking breakfast cereal in the morning.
Is Corn Pops a simulation?
So I could get Corn Pops. My family would probably be pretty happy if I ate breakfast, but Corn Pops has sugar. Now, sugar has been around for hundreds of years.
Nobody can tell me that I have to eat Corn Pops. If you tell me I have to eat Corn Pops, I will not eat Corn Pops. But if my family and doctors say that you should, Well, maybe I will.
I haven't eaten corn pops in 20 years.
I heard in Canada they're going to force everyone to eat corn pops.
As always, Jordan's got it.
I think that you buried it a little bit there. He's said nobody can prove I'm the real clown. Is he admitting to some kind of Andrew WK, Avril Lavigne type of body switching scenario here?
Well, I think he forgot that his nickname clown wasn't just his only name forever. Like, he was just referred to as Sean Crahan pretty much throughout the 90s and 2000s. Like, I every publication I picked up, it was always Sean Crahan. That's what I always saw. Only recently kind of it's been like clown. Oh, clown, I'm clown. Sup, bros? This is clown. This is clown from Slipknot. And it's like, yeah, really much cooler name.
And also, like, you know, he's presumably gone through customs before to enter other countries. They don't let you just put on your makeup and walk on through like, oh, it's clown. Right. You have like documents and shit.
He can't have like the open bleeding head and the stupid mask on.
I always appreciate the inner monologue of some of these guys that have been such a big force in metal for so long. What do you think, Jordan?
Did Nurgle ever reply to any of that, or did he just sit there silently nodding the entire time?
In this article I have in front of me, the only quotes I have are from Clown. If you want to check out the full episode, the show is called The Electric Theater with Clown, and you type in Nurgle and the entire thing is on YouTube. I will not be linking it. You can go find that yourself.
I think we need to keep an eye on that podcast, because if he ever interviews Stephen Carpenter from Deftones, it will just be incredible.
Yeah, that's something I would like to listen to, actually.
There's the term galaxy brain. I mean, what would that be? Milky Way brain?
Yeah, that's like alternate universe brain. Like, it's much bigger than we can even conceive of.
Black hole brain.
Yeah. They're going to combine together and just create a huge gravity suction.
I'm glad that you shared this with me. I feel like this is important. And you know what? If this moron convinces like a half a dozen other morons, like, yeah, maybe you should get that free vaccine that's being offered to everyone. Like, that's probably a net positive, right?
I guess so. But it sounds like he knows his fans a little better than I do. So I think he's like giving a long-winded sort of description as to why he's doing it. Like, he's making excuses why he's got to do it. I just fucking do it, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's a little mealy mouth, but I guess whatever. He didn't fully commit. It's worth noting. It's not a full throated commitment. So we'll be on clown watch for the next 6 months to make sure that he actually goes through it and gets that poke.
Better than John Schaefer watch, which we've been on for like 5 months now.
Great. Yeah, related. He's now off John Schaefer watch, which we call a suicide watch in prison. Looks like he got released. I guess he sang real good.
We called it.
We did. Jordan, do you can you give the major facts laid out? What exactly was happening with Schaefer? Because you and I were talking about this a little bit back and forth.
I the news came out in the Washington Post about a week and a half ago that he was admitting guilt to two charges of taking part in the Capitol insurrection. One of the biggest pieces of news in that article that I think a lot of people skipped over, and I really haven't heard it anywhere else, so perhaps it was incorrect reporting, but it said he was one of the founding members of the Oath Keepers, which is a pretty big piece of news.
Yeah, because that's an org that's been around for a good while. I mean, it's only really came to national prominence recently, but I mean, I've seen these fuckers around forever.
Early 2000s, I think, is when they like officially, you know, opened their clubhouse and started plotting.
I wonder what was happening in the early 2000s that would cause an organization like this to form. I guess we'll never know.
Part of the whole weirdness of that fact is that after, I believe, he was arrested, other members of the Oath Keepers said, well, he's not a member. He's not a member. I think either trying to cover for him or trying to cover for themselves when they knew he was going to sing like a bird.
And, you know, he sang like a bird, right? That's understood. That's why he's free. He gave the feds whatever they wanted. And they were like, okay, that's good enough. I don't think that's the end of it for him. I think that likely what these kinds of wargs like to do is keep a leash on these guys so they can get more out of them in exchange for their freedom. And it's... You and I were talking about this a bit, Jordan, but there's a strange scenario where when these paranoid weirdos that are prone to violent acts are continually observed and surveilled and given direction by these police organizations, they sometimes end up doing insanely horrific things. And I don't know exactly what it is that causes that. You know, one of the things that you and I were talking about was the fella in Canada that engaged in what was the most deadly act of a mass shooting in the history of that country, who was known to be an informant for their federal police. And by the time they finally caught up with him after he'd killed all those people, he had a duffel bag full of cash.
And like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Like way more money than you think that you can get out of a bank at any given time.
Enough to buy a few Tim Hortons.
Yeah, I forget what they call those things. The yeah, that's it. It's hundreds of thousands of Timbits converted at the bank from money to donuts.
Yeah, well, we kind of know how these CIA or FBI government organizations work, where they capture the small fish in hopes of turning them into informants or working for them in order to capture bigger fish. Bring it back to America. Whitey Bulger is a good example of that. A mob boss doing horrific, horrible things for decades was giving information to government organizations in exchange for being allowed to keep doing what he was doing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, you can just be a horrific murderer, and as long as you're, you know, sending detailed notes, you can continue doing that with carte blanche.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with John Schaefer. I think he's still going to go to jail for a smaller amount of time than would be normal, because, you know, they're going to cut him slack for giving them information and time already served and blah, blah, blah. But I still think he's going to serve some time just because this has been so public and he has been the most well-known person to be involved in this.
Here are some verifiable facts that I have in front of me regarding his sentence. So CNN reports that prosecutors agreed to recommend between 3.5 years or 5.5 years of sentencing in prison based on his cooperation. So because he's pleading guilty, it sounds like that's pretty definite. Also, what I have in front of me are the conditions of his bail now that he's out and about. He must submit to court supervision in Indiana. He must surrender his passport and international traveling documents. He's got to stay out of Washington, D.C. for obvious reasons. And he will be permitted to travel within the U.S. with notice to pretrial services. And here's the ringer, boys. He cannot possess any firearms or explosive devices, even legally. Firearms must be removed from his home.
That's got to hurt the worst for him.
I thought this was America.
Took my guns!
And so ultimately, we will not be seeing an international Iced Earth tour for quite a while.
I think that's it. I think you can call the books on that one. They will never, ever, ever come to Brazil again.
I don't know, man. Those Facebook comments seem to get the job done every time.
We could see one in the United States, or at least, you know, John Schaefer plays the hits, something like that.
Something like that. It is truly an impressive professional burnout. It's rare that you really get one like that, and I think that's why we've been milking this so hard.
It's just so stunning. Every single solitary fact involved in this is just a series of bad ideas following even worse ideas.
The increasingly poor decisions of John Schaefer. No, I think I'm going to call it. I don't think this is the last you're going to hear of John Schaefer. I think he's going to make headlines again. My prediction is that they'll be horrific. But, you know, time will tell. Time will tell. Moving on to other news, we had some important recent documents that came across our desk. Jordan, I would like you to perhaps deliver the outline of this next story.
You're going to have to be more specific than that.
Well, I was trying to give you some leeway. I have one in mind specifically, but you're free to make a dealer's choice on this.
For this, I think I'm going to need some theme music for it, if you please.
Kids to attack. Saying something dumb again. Dummy, dummy, dummy! Kids to attack. Get an L out of here.
Now, that's a song I have not heard in quite some time. Too long. It's been too long.
It's been a while. And we'll actually get to that reference later. But for this, our good friend James Kotek has been active on Twitter for a while now. I've gone back and going through his cat pictures and just praising Bachman Turner Overdrive multiple times a day sometimes. Going back to December 18th, he tweeted, Twilight Zone.
All right. Good
and
show.
Later that day, he tweeted, Twilight Zone, ...
The most recent thing that I've seen from Kotak is a picture of
I'm
his
I'm going
bed.
Up the list. I went back.
Sorry.
I'll get to it. On January 20th, he tweeted, Biden moves in, ... Disaster.
Fairly poetic.
Scrolling through more Bachman Turner Overdrive stuff.
Well, consistent.
On April 9th, he tweeted, they are not, quote, unhoused, ... They are homeless. Bonin / Garcetti and all have failed us, ... I lived in Venice early 90s. It was nice, ... No more. I am moving to Texas after 30 plus years.
Yeah, man, there's definitely no unhoused people in Texas.
You're going to get a new neighbor.
Oh, great. I mean, I'm getting so many cool neighbors as it is.
On April 13th, he tweeted, I guess the education department in Minnesota is broken because these people are the dumbest of the dumb I've ever seen in my entire life, and anywhere else they decide to riot. Do you want me to read that one again? Because he's calling people dumb, and that is not a sentence.
No, that's that one's pretty, pretty dog whistly racist too.
I don't even know what this means. On April 13th, thank you, Newsome Gruesome, ... Arclight and Cinerama Dome Gone, ... Recall.
You're stupid. I'm not stupid. I don't gone here.
I think what he's trying to say is that Governor Gavin Gruesome Newsom, as he's commonly known, that's the thing everybody calls him. He's the governor, and a couple of theaters in California are now closed, and that is, of course, the fault of Gruesome Newsom. So to rectify this, they must recall the governor.
And on April 18th, he tweeted, "So all of you who voted for Biden are willing to take migrants into your home?"
God damn, that is one of the most recycled, like, crank phrases I think over the last 25 years.
And my answer to that is yes, if they needed help and I had the room, sure. I mean, I'd take them over taking in James Kotak.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one for me. I apologize. I have a pug that just broke up in my door. Let me take care of that really quickly.
Just absolutely.
Who the fuck is talking shit on James Kotak?
Just muscle smashed through the fucking door.
Sorry about that. He's gone now.
And this is actually, I think, off of his Twitter, because I see an article about it, but I don't see the tweets. Let me go through here. Biden, the dumbest of the dumb. Climate changes, it's not exist, so don't get worked up. I don't care who you are, whatever you are. If you voted for Biden, you made a huge mistake, so look what you get. And he followed that up in a separate tweet. And of course, I wrote it like a true dumb person. It's the only way to acknowledge his lameness. This guy's an idiot.
Man, I do love that inarticulate rage.
Also, like the, I forgot what I was saying here, but like he just doesn't know how to delete a tweet. Like he's got to go back to his tweet, see like, wow, that sounded dumb, but just leave it up there and just, you know, try to save himself and say, well, I made it dumb on purpose.
This is a case study of the kind of person that is constantly bitching about needing an edit button on Twitter. Never going to happen. I think that it's good to revisit Kotak. I feel like we probably could have predicted a few of these phrases he's throwing around. Aside from all the Bachman-Turner overdrive love, I did not necessarily see that one coming, that he was a big fan of taking care of business.
You could say he's been working overtime, work out.
which is great. Yeah, that's all right. I'm glad that we could revisit an old friend, friend of the show, James Kotak.
Thank you for being a friend.
I'd like to bring up something that is happening near me, and it's deeply annoying. So, you know, there's that guy that we talked about quite a bit in the past, and we said we would never mention ever again.
You'll have to be more nothing specific. If not inconsistent.
Yeah. Well, it's Tommy Vex, formerly of the Bad Wolves, now. Yeah, now solely of the Tommy Vex due to his unceremonious booting from the band, following his unceremonious booting from other bands, following him booting people. So he's on a little tour right now all throughout Texas, which is just fucking fantastic. I can't tell you how much I love that.
I mean, it's literally just a tour of Texas.
Yes.
We're not kidding.
He was in Fort Worth, it was 2 days ago, I believe, at something called FitCon, you know, a bunch of people getting together to share the latest advancements in nutrition technology pyramid schemes. So, you know, he showed up to that, and he played his little stupid songs. You know, before he got back on the road to continue his tour, which is he's calling the Fuck Cancel Culture Tour, which is pretty on the nose, I reckon.
He'll couldn't come up with like a better like catchier name or anything.
just you know, you gotta move t-shirts somehow, and this is the thing that is activating the fucking lizard brain of the worst people in your suburban subdivision. So that's what's going to sell. That's what's happening. He was in El Paso last night. He's in Lubbock tomorrow. And I got to say, you deserve that one, buddy. You deserve everything Lubbock is going to give you.
At a sports cafe.
Yeah, it's Jake's Sports Cafe. Following that, the next day, he's going to make a really shitty drive from Lubbock all the way to my little town of Austin, Texas. Come and Take It Live, which, folks, if you don't know, and you're in the Austin area, that is where the pay-to-play shows happen.
That's where all the washed-up new metal bands play.
It is. It truly is. If you want to see five guys wearing matching windbreakers playing deathcore in the year 2021, they had to sell tickets to get on that bill, and you are a sucker for showing up. Not to mince words, just that's how it is. And following that, he'll be in Dallas at the Gas Monkey, and he'll be moving his wares, which is to say, t-shirts with various aggressive phrases on them, and his latest little thing, Tommy Vexed Zombie Drops CBD in cranberry flavor.
Wow.
You ghoul.
A lot more clever than the fucking names of your tours, man. Which, by the way, we all know that he just has a garage full of those fuck cancel culture shirts. He hasn't sold a single one. And so he's specifically starting a tour to just peddle those pieces of shit.
Yeah, man. Before we talk about this a little bit further, I would like to just dwell for a second on how fucking horrible it is to sell cranberry zombie drops. Your modern career was entirely made by Dolores O'Riordan, who died tragically because your song sucks so much fucking shit. You killed her. and now you're just continuing to profit off the corpse.
I love this post that Tommy Vex shared on his stories to showcase people buying the Tommy Vex zombie drops. This girl has the nastiest nails I've ever seen. Like, please get your cuticles done, honey. Please.
This shit is fucked. Like, you can see the what are they called, acrylics, just sloppily pasted on or fucked up nails underneath. Like, this is the worst photo you could take.
It's like her natural nails have grown out beyond her nail beds there to a point where her just gross, crusty nails like are underneath the acrylics. Oh, man. Like, she's got work in hands for sure, too.
I'm not somebody that really cares about, you know, how people present themselves or whatever, but like, damn, girl, that is nasty. Fix that shit. Yeah, and so there is footage as well of Tommy Vex performing at this FitCon thing, which is notable for the biggest collection of hot dog necks I've ever seen in one sitting.
Yeah, the back of your head really shouldn't have rolls on it.
It's just a bunch of identical dudes. They're all bald. They all have the fucking rolls. And they're all wearing matching Under Armour with like fucking Patriot tattoos. It might as well be a cop convention.
Oh no.
I hate this. I hate the way that we've managed to fracture every kind of interest that people can have into some kind of, you know, another right-wing grift, like selling these fucking sea berries or whatever through the interferon multi-level marketing scheme because it'll make you stronger to fight protesters.
I just love that you can have like any kind of theme you want on CBD oil, which is just like, CBD oil is just absolute snake oil. It doesn't really, it just doesn't help people. You think you're taking something good, and really you just, it's like Diet Coke pot. Just smoke pot. It's like legal everywhere. Cops don't care if it's illegal.
I was trying to maybe be understanding in the past because I had heard people say that, you know, CBD helped them. And I no longer believe that's the case. I think it's entirely psychosomatic, and I think that by making any kind of positive claims for this substance, that you're enabling just the worst shitheads to try to make some more money.
I think we need to make a Toilet of Hell podcast CBD oil. Not just Toilet of Hell, but like Toilet of Hell podcast CBD oil. It's got to say it on the label.
Fuck that. We'll make a Toilet of Hell podcast Delta 8 vape pens, you know. Have you seen the Delta 8 shit?
But vape pens, it's like, God, what a waste. Just CBD vape pens.
Yeah, Delta 8 is it's fairly new on the scene. And coming to a gas station near you, I reckon. It is a synthetically derived variation of THC. From what has been reported to me, will get you in fucking insanely zooted. So it is, it's likely like just the next move for bath salts.
Oh, so it's like a way to, it's like a loophole. It's not really the stuff that's illegal, so people can smoke it in the meantime.
Yeah, it's like a scientifically created variation of the active ingredient in real weed, which means that it's spice.
Speaking of like scientifically created potheads, let's move on. Is Dr. Ted Nugent a scientifically created pothead in a lab? Like, have we created just the dumbest man to ever exist when they designed this man?
Well, I don't know if that's true, because Ted Nugent is famously the most old school straight edge musician. that is, of course, you know, after his many years of experience with amphetamines, but he got better.
But did he get better?
He's girls.
Way better now.
Sorry, Jordan, what were you saying?
And underage girls.
And yeah, well, I mean, there's nothing specifically in the straight edge doctrine that outlaws that, right?
I think it's pretty frowned upon.
Oh, okay. I've never been straight edge in my life, so I'm missing some of the elements here.
You came out of the womb with a pack of menthols.
Yeah, some of it. You know, some people we just have a joie de vivre.
Just put a pack of chaw in your cheek instead of a bottle.
You know, if I respect your decision to not drink or take drugs or smoke cigarettes or anything like that, it just I don't think it works for me personally.
I don't. No, I'm just. Yeah, every waking moment I'm sober, it's just I wonder how people deal with this.
Absolute agony.
It's like look at all the people in traffic whenever you go to work, and just imagine that they're all sober. It's just terrifying to me, really.
I'm taking drugs right now while we're talking, so that's how I feel about it anyway. But the Nuge, you know, beloved elder statesman of hard rock and roll.
Right. So allegedly dead sober, and he's coming up with these kind of takes anyway. So, but I mean, this time around, it sounds like he's sort of coming around to reality a bit, because the headline states, Ted Nugent, the pandemic is real and the people that are sick are real. There is a caveat to that, but he did say that much, which is laudable. It's good that he kind of looked at a blue sky and said the color that it was.
If you want to be real about it, his statement was more direct than fucking clowns.
So what had happened specifically is he told a Florida area ABC affiliate. So it's not like he just told like a real deal news that anyone cares about. It was just some random affiliate in a local area. He said, there's been worse conditions and health problems in the past in this country and around the world, where nobody ever shut down mom and pop diners and shut down entire economic societies in the United States of America. That's what I believe, and I will continue to believe that that's a hoax. But the pandemic is real, and the people that are sick are real. What?
Right. Yeah, the Black Plague never shut down any diners.
I think the Spanish flu, it did indeed shut down diners. Like, if you
want
to use...
Eugene just wants his French toast.
Let's get some fucking French toast. So yeah, he got that there COVID, right?
Is that what happened? He sure did. Oh yeah, he got the quote unquote Chinese shit.
Yeah, he got the Chinese shit, which I believe is what led him to make that statement, because I believe that the entire world went nuts with like, you stupid bitch, look at you now. He's like, well, technically, I never said it wasn't real.
Yeah, he said, I've got an announcement to make. Everybody told me that I should not announce this. Everyone told him, don't tell anybody, Ted, you fucked up. But he says, I have had flu symptoms for the last 10 days. I thought I was dying. Just a clusterfuck. I was tested positive today. I got the Chinese shit. I've got a stuffed up head, body aches. My God, what a pain in the ass. Oh, baby.
Canonically, the Chinese shit refers to the heart toxin in the Crank movies. So I don't know if I feel good about repurposing that, you know? But it's worth noting that just a few episodes ago, I believe, I was mentioning how the Nuge, as he prefers to be called, was auctioning off all of his guns and cars and guitars and shit. It's some auction house near Waco, and in the process of selling all the shit was doing a whole bunch of, I don't know what exactly the nomenclature they referred to them as, but like underground concerts, to paying fans that wanted to see him perform and also buy his old shit. So it's incredibly likely, and I'm gonna go ahead and point out and say yes, this is what happened, that he got COVID from one of his dickhead fans while selling all of his shit, playing the shows outside Waco. And then likely, of course, you know, snowballed that back and forth with several other people in the audience and, you know, created minor infections within within Central Texas. So that's pretty cool if you think about it.
Yeah, it's great that he's spreading something besides complete stupid. he continues to say, I've been around a long time, 72.4 years. And it's like, what are you, 11? You got to go 0.4, whatever. 72.4 years to be exact. And it's been quite an adventure. But I have never been so sick in all my life. I could barely crawl out of bed. And I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just trying to share a medical emergency during a global medical emergency. And what the Nugent tribe, what this guitar player is doing to counterpunch a COVID-19 positive test this afternoon. And it's going to be willpower. Yeah, I don't think sympathy is really the emotion we're all feeling together here about you, Ted.
I saw a lot of reactions to news that he got COVID, and I don't think any of them would fall under that umbrella.
Sort of like the Herman Cain effect, really.
Yeah, no, I saw specifically people saying, like, come on, carry this one through the finish line.
Yeah. How does that hoax taste, dumbass?
Jordan, what was your reaction to hearing old Nugie got the COVID?
Old Nugie.
Good. good for the most part. I mean, it's a shame he's not going to learn anything from this and will probably come out of it essentially the same and still play Bango Zitango or whatever catch scratch fever garbage.
That song is called I Love Fucking Underage Girls.
Exactly. So, you know, it falls under one of these things where this isn't real until it affects me directly, and that's always so deeply frustrating. But, you know, maybe it'll affect his breathing for the rest of his life and he won't be able to tour. One can only hope.
Let's hope for, you know, one long hauler. One long hauler, please.
I've had the unique experience of seeing Ted Nugent perform live with a friend once upon a time. And I just remember,
this
like...
This is news to me.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him live. It was in Rhode Island. I can't remember exactly where in Rhode Island, but... Providence, maybe? But we went to I went there with a friend. It was like this hardwood floors. It was fucking terrible just staying there and having to deal with all this. But I just remember, like, he at some point was like, hey, I know you guys like to eat seafood out here. Eat all those crustaceous motherfuckers. And the whole audience just, like, lit up. Like, they just freaked out. Like, they just thought it was so awesome to just, like, kill animals and eat them. Like, it's like, take that, liberals, you know? Because you guys are eating shrimp cocktail, you're so badass.
Yeah, no, I love the idea. Like, come and take my calamari, liberals.
I'm gonna boil this lobster alive because I don't give a fuck.
Truly, truly baffling. Aside from that, how was the performance?
I mean, he played his songs like they're supposed to be played. He had, like, you know, 80 years to do it right. So,
and is this person you went with still your friend?
Pandemic's been weird.
Yes. So the friendship continued after you went to see Ted Nugent.
Yeah, this guy is a Hunter Fisher type. And
car ride back home wasn't in icy silence.
Yeah, he's a classic rock type of Hunter Fisher type. Ted Nugent is like all what he's about. I've grown up in weird places and I've made weird friends, you know, and it's like when you make friends with a guy when he's 5 years old and you stay friends forever and it's to a point where it's like family, like you kind of have to deal with some politics that you might not have agreed upon back when Power Rangers were a thing, you know.
I mean, like, most of the folks that I grew up with were classic rock Hunter Fisher types. I mean, that's how I ended up seeing Styx play.
This is how it happens. You have some redneck friend and he takes you to some redneck thing. And when you're like, when you feel like you're upper minded, you're just like, oh, this should be fun. Like going to a zoo to look at the animals. So you go there and, you know, you're really just part of the zoo. Someone's looking at, you know, you in the enclosure there.
That's true.
It's like going to Walmart, you know?
To their credit, Styx was fucking badass. They got a keyboard player that fucking spins it around, plays it upside down. Fucking wild. It's wild.
Ted Nugent was playing a, like, red, white, and blue Gibson guitar. It was very on brand. Everything was just incredibly on brand. That's all I can say.
Did he pull out one of those terrible guitars that looks like a gun?
No, but he pulled out one of those Gibsons that's like 400 times the size of a normal Gibson and has like the holes in it.
Like the ESS or whatever the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, one of those shitty ones that everyone says is a good guitar, but it's just huge and heavy and it sounds like shit.
Yeah, for rockabilly types only.
But this isn't gear talk. This is metal talk. And yeah. Ted Nugent decidedly not metal, so I think we can move on to someone who's decidedly definitely metal, but, you know, might be a wannabe redneck with a guitar.
Oh, God. What do you have in mind?
Well, as Jordan said, it's been a while, hasn't it?
God fucking damn it. All right, what do you have?
Aaron Lewis, we got some news about him, don't we?
He has a new song out in which he specifically calls out Bruce Springsteen, of all people.
Is he calling him out for his liberal hypocrisy?
Not in the way that you do, as you clench your fist at him making another $1 million from having a boring podcast with President Obama.
Selling his albums exclusively at Walmart. But that's neither here nor there.
It's neither here nor there. He put out a new song, Am I the Only One? It's called.
And that's, of course, generally, I want to stop and say, sure. Am I the Only One is the preface to the worst fucking tweets of all time. No, you're not the only one. There are 7 fucking billion people in the world. Fuck you. All right, go ahead.
Those are usually the more obnoxious tweets that somehow garner thousands and thousands of likes. Like, am I the only one that remembers drinking from the hose after playing outside all day? It's like, shut up.
Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
But anyway, I'll just read the lyrics of the song. Am I the only one here tonight, shaking my head and thinking something ain't right?
Oh, God damn it.
Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time?
Oh!
Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks they're taking all the good we got and turning it back? Hell, I'll be damned. I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed or take a bullet for being free?
Go ahead.
Screaming.
Let's find out.
Fuck around, find out.
Yeah.
Screaming, what the fuck, at my TV for telling me, yeah, are you telling me? And I'm the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue.
Oh, that's an ugly little couplet.
I would have taken points off in poetry class.
Yep.
Burning on the ground as the statue's coming down in a town near you, watching the threads of old glory come undone. Am I the only one? Am I the only one not brainwashed, making my way through the land of the lost, who still gives a shit and worries about his kids while they try to undo all the things he did? And I'm the only one who can't take no more, screaming, if you don't like it, there's the fucking door. This ain't the freedom we've been fighting for. It was something more. Yeah, it was something more. Am I the only one willing to bleed? Am I the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue? Burning on the ground as the statues come down. Am I the only one who quits singing along every time they play a Springsteen song?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Am I the only one still sitting here, still holding on, holding back my tears for the ones who give with the lives they gave? God bless the USA. I'm not the only one willing to fight for my love of the red, white, and blue. Blah, 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 blah. The end.
Guys, they're just like brace pistols. Like, buy a rifle or buy a handgun. It's not that big of a fucking deal.
He wrote a song about getting mad at the TV. this is the most old man shit I've ever heard of in my life. Am I the only one that still loves Springsteen and the flag and the troops? And when they bring those statues down, that ain't right. It's like, God, shut the fuck up.
But they can buy me a boat.
Okay, I like that song.
But like,
only Elvis is allowed to get mad at a TV.
True.
Yeah, no, but Elvis didn't write a song about how he shot his TV, which is unbelievably badass. That's a cool thing to do. He's not suggesting anything of the sort here. He's just watching TV, getting madder and madder about it, and then writing some of the laziest rhymes I've ever heard in my life.
He's just mad at CNN.
Yeah. I gotta say, this sucks enough that it's probably gonna be pretty big.
It sucks enough, but that's not the only news, because with songs and such like this, they tend to be followed up by full albums. And Aaron Lewis told Billboard that, quote, "It's like 30 ideas, but they don't fit with anything that's going on right now. They don't fit Stain. They don't fit with my country thing. It's somewhere between Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon and Billie Eilish."
Ah, so it sucks.
"Very dreamscapey, very ethereal. The musical landscape is quite simple and sparse. There's a lot of stuff going on without much stuff going on. It'll be much more focused around melody." So we have that to look forward to, too.
I remember a while back in some interview, he said that he wanted to basically rip off Portishead, which is what it sounds like what he's describing right now. And I guarantee that is going to be just some of the most tuneless music you've ever heard in your life. And I'm really, really looking forward to that that passion project coming out.
And a credit to someone who commented on this article that I'm reading. It's been a while-ish.
Been a while-ish. Pretty good. Pretty fucking good.
What does that even mean? Like, is Aaron Lewis gonna put his mouth on the microphone and just be like, "America, white, white, and blue"? I don't need to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I think it's lofty to compare yourself to Pink Floyd, even if you think the band sucks. It's like constantly attributed to one of the greatest like classic rock bands of all time, and you're fucking Aaron Lewis with your bald head and your stupid opinions and barely guitar playing. Like,
his career can be attributed to two things. One is ripping off better bands within nu metal, and then ripping off Toby Keith later in his life. There's not exactly any kind of musicality in place in either of these things. Traditionally, you would consider both of those to be maybe the barest simple genres of music you could play.
It's like, dude, you're not that talented, and you haven't been that successful since Stained. You haven't been. You're pretty much just like rolling through life on all the back end you made from Stained. All anyone wants is more Stained music from you. They don't want any of this other shit.
So, you know, in Stained, his lyrical focus was either, you know, fucking teenage angst or about, you know, mud shovels. And then
yeah.
With his solo thing, it's about, you know, getting mad at the TV. That's all it is. You know, Facebook boomer memes, like Jordan was saying, does anybody else remember drinking from the fucking water hose, you know, when you're out playing?
Retweet if you used to take your lunch to school in a brown paper bag.
Yeah, these kids today, they're not right. Not like us. They didn't grow up right with their parents beating them with a stick.
We grew up with skinned knees and broken smiles.
Yeah, so that's all he's mining there. So I have to tell you, with this passion project he's been considering for so long, because I remember hearing about this years ago, I want to know what kind of lyrical depths he's going to mine, if it's not teenage angst or red, white, and blue bullshit. There has to be something more happening behind his brain, right?
It'll be a combination, and with a wispy Billie Eilish voice, like, "Gonna hug my gun, gonna kiss the flag, I'm a patriot man."
That's pretty good. You should consider a new side project, Jordan.
Yeah, I think you've found your platinum record there, buddy.
Pay me.
We've talked about a lot of has-beens, never were's, new metals, classic rockers. Why don't we talk about like metal fans of Toilet of Hell actually like?
Do we ever do that though?
Rarely. Fucking rarely.
Well, then we'll give this.
We do it so sarcastically. Like, what are you going to listen to? Blood Incantation.
It's good. I like that a lot. No, there's news, you know, it's the exact same shit because none of these people have been relevant in 30 years. But, you know, it's just it's different because this is more real, I guess. Right. And by real, I mean far less successful than any of the other bands. Talking, of course, about a little black metal band that you guys might have heard of. Jordan, do you have some of the details here on this? Because it seems pretty worth noting.
Emperor is celebrating their 30th anniversary with a special live stream event. And that sounds nice if you like that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, Emperor is not really my favorite, but they have some hits. I don't mind the band. I won't turn it off. I prefer the solo material of, what is it, Isan, though?
There's that. And, you know, with these special live events going on, there are these live streams, a lot of bands like to bring in old members or like to play albums in full or just kind of dig through the discography and do some stuff they don't normally do. And that's part of the case of what Emperor is doing. They're being joined by Mortis, who is a former member, and we may know him as the voice behind the Mortis News Network.
Friend of the toilet, a longtime friend of the toilet, I would say, Mortis.
Big flappy boy Mortis. But that's not all. They're also having another former member join them, Faust. Now, can you remind people what Faust is most famous for?
Being a great drummer.
Cancel.
What? What do you mean?
I mean, he was pretty good as a drummer, I guess. But
so good, you had to bring him back after what he did.
Yeah, no, I think he's most notable, perhaps, for going out and intentionally finding a gay man to murder. He stabbed this gay man in what is a clear hate crime 37 times. So, you know, this is it's pretty pretty cut and dry what happened there. He was able to, you know, hide out with Mayhem for a bit, hanging out in old Helvet, selling shitty black metal demos, and then eventually he got arrested, confessed to it, and I believe he was in jail for 14 years. So that means he got out a very long time ago.
And they're just welcoming him back into the fold with arms wide open.
With arms wide open for
so
this.
Conceivably, if you purchase this stream, some money is going to him.
Yeah. I don't, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. I don't think that was a good idea. I don't want to be too wild with this one, but I think that was a bad idea.
Yeah. For like 25 fucking years, they haven't had him as a drummer. Like, why bring him back? It makes no sense. It's like such a dumb move.
The band is inarguably bigger now than they were in their heyday when he was a part of the band. You know, just the way that the internet has functioned in creating, you know, cold icons that have sold more records since then. So I don't know that this was necessary, that all the old heads were going to be like, woo, I've seen that guy before.
It's like, I don't see any reason to do it except for like edge clout in the black metal scene. He's a drummer. I'm sure there's plenty of young guys who would love to play drums in a band as well known as Emperor. It's just, whatever. Do what you got to do. You know, and they're always like trying to cop this whole Norwegian sensibility where it's like, oh, he went to jail. He's fine now. Like, he's been rehabilitated. He just served his time.
I don't think you need to invite the homophobic murderer on stage with you. I think that may be not a good idea. And also, it seems like the tides have changed where it's no longer cool to be a fucking sociopath.
Maybe. Possibly.
Yeah, shout out to the Hellbent for Metal podcast. They dedicated an entire article about Faust and about how Emperor's welcoming him back in for this live stream, and they get into details about what had happened with his crimes. And, you know, if you're mentally prepared for that sort of thing, it's worth checking it out.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. That one is worth listening to if you really want to delve a little bit deeper in this. you know, we got feedback from our last show. We know that sometimes you guys don't want to be bummed out.
Well, we'll end on a high note. So, I mean, you got the live stream, which is, I mean, it's one smart thing that Emperor is doing a live stream. It's still really not safe to just cram a bunch of people into a venue, have them mosh and sweat and spit on all of each other while they're writhing like idiots to their favorite death metal tunes. Unless you're a Deicide fan. I don't know if you guys have I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but Deicide have very recently they performed a full capacity show without any restrictions whatsoever in the grand old state of Florida. It was a full capacity show at the Verona in Newport Richie. And yeah, it's if you actually watch the clip, it's just a show, as shows have always been. So they're coming back. You can go ahead and do it if you want.
Now, when you say full capacity, what does that mean?
Probably like 30 or 40 dudes.
All right. I mean, that checks out. I've never been into Deicide. Have you got? Or is that a band that you dig?
Maybe back in like my high school days when just death metal was fine and yeah, I could just listen to whatever, but I don't.
When being mean to Jesus was the edgiest thing you could do.
Oh, this guy, he burned a fucking upside down cross in his forehead. That's sick. That's fucking sick, dude. Like when you're the age of someone who can actually be impressed by something like that and not be some 50 something year old guy that still keeps doing it, branding your dumb head with a fucking upside down cross. But yeah, I mean, Deicide, they're pretty run of the mill from that era. Pretty classic.
I would say that, I don't know, this is just my ears, this is my experience with the band, but you know, in the whole Florida scene or whatever, they always struck me as like, I don't know, the worst one. it sounds bad to me.
Yeah. Yeah, they have terrible guitar tone. I don't know. They fit the brief. That's all I can say. I don't know. I think it's a little early to make this decision. 2.1 million Florida residents have contracted COVID-19 due to these stupid restrictions or lack of restrictions. And 34,695 people died. So I don't know. Not really that great of a look. But hey, I guess if you're death metal and you're Deicide and you don't give a shit, that's just... That's how you can go. And also, we have a lot of tour dates. They've announced a summer tour. This summer, you can go see them live with Cataclysm, Internal Bleeding, and Begat the Nephilim. If I pronounce Nephilim correctly, I deserve a cookie. And that shit starts rolling out August 5th until August 29th this year. You can go see them in Florida, Georgia, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California. Wow, California. That's, you know, we'll see. Colorado, Utah, Pennsylvania. Oh, they're coming back to Brooklyn, New York. Yeah, good luck with that, boys. We'll see.
Coming to lungs near you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see this tour making it all the way through. I just don't.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, do you think all the bands make it all the way to the end? And I'm going to say no.
I think that we're gonna have a tougher summer. I think that the variants are gonna be fucking things up pretty good. So we'll see about that.
It's just the hearing that people went to a Deicide show now, it just makes me think of one of the rare times I actually go outside and see like Applebee's parking lot full. And just imagine dying because you went to see Deicide. Imagine dying because you just needed chicken fritters from Applebee's and a Dracula teeny or whatever.
You're like shivering on your deathbed and it was all for that one last show. And this was the show of your choice here.
I live fairly close to a Hooters. So every time I drive past, it is fucking overflow parking. People can't get enough terrible chicken. And titties, I guess. So willing to, you know, this entire time, people have been filling up that parking lot to stuff their faces with bad food and thumbing their nose at any potential infection.
Well, I mean, hey, good for Hooters. The girls only have to be like half pretty in the face this time around. So
Jesus, we're gonna get in trouble for that one.
Sorry. That's me. You can cancel me for that. Jordan and Jar are good boys. I'm the wild card. What can I say? So that's it for me, fellas. Do we have anything else we can cover on the show before we let everybody go finally and see if there's some light in the world outside of our show?
Speaking of redemption and bands welcoming in criminals back into the fold, Tim Lambesa from As I Lay Dying hosted a mental health class at a gym this past week.
Hell yes. You sent me that. It caused me to go temporarily blind. But I'm better now. I'm better now. And I'm not at all completely incensed by this guy getting to make some kind of face turn selling tickets to give a fucking TED talk on mental health or whatever the fuck this shit is.
Now, was he allowed to do this, or did Planet Fitness hit the lunk alarm while he was going off?
Got him. Unfortunately, it wasn't at a Planet Fitness. It was at something worse. The talk was called Redemption, Healing, and Hope, which was held at Your Life Gym. Your Life Gym is owned by Jake Lurs, and that name is probably not familiar to 99% of the people listening to this, but he is the front man from August Burns Red. So this is Christian metalcore buddies helping out their Christian metalcore buddy have some sort of redemption arc, talking about clacking stacks and praying to the big JC for all the wrong you've done.
To be fair, I mean, running a gym is far more lucrative than running a completely by the book cookie cutter metal band.
Yeah. It's a combination. It's faith and lifting weights, which feels like a very 90s thing.
Yeah.
Like ripping phone books or in the name of the Lord.
Did those guys come to your school too?
Well, no. I grew up in a suburb full of Jewish people, so no.
I did not. So I had the bodybuilders that told us about how they were horrifically addicted to drugs, but then they found Jesus and then a stack of weights, and then they ripped those motherfucking phone books for the entire school gymnasium.
Wow. I mean, like, we had guys like that, but I think our guys that came to our school were just buff as a result of having to work out in all their years of prison. I don't think it was related.
I think they were called, like, Power Team or yeah. something like that.
Yeah, this is the Power Bottoms. No, I think that that's
now
that's
I'm pretty... off the hook. Now I'm not.
Yeah, no, I get to do that one. That's on me. Everyone forgot about how they're mad at you, and now they're mad at me.
I lost my edit button somewhere.
Yeah, it's fine. No, I just this brings to mind like fucking Jordan Belfort, like the Wolf of Wall Street guy. You know, he committed a whole shit ton of crimes. He went to jail. He got out, started giving talks about like, you know, responsible investment or whatever, that soon turned to just fucking pumping crypto stocks. It's he got a chance to be rehabilitated by these kinds of like, I don't know, phony ass mental health talks that he's doing. What's going to happen is that he will introduce his own faith coin.
Oh, man. We should do a Toilet of Hell non-fungible token or some kind of Toilet of Hell cryptocurrency. Just flush coins.
Hong Kong coins.
Yeah, yep. Hong Kong coins. Yep.
So there was obviously pushback from people who saw about this, and Lambesis responded, "So I just finished being a guest speaker in a mental health class, and I got a lot of criticism this morning before this class about how I have no business trying to help other people with all the pain I've caused others in my life. And really, that's not what the class was about. It's not about me saying I've got things figured out. It's about me saying that I've gone through a lot of things and tried to heal and rehabilitate. And part of the pain that I've experienced is waking up every day knowing the pain that I've caused other people. So it's definitely not about me being morally superior or particularly qualified. It's about me being open and sharing my experience.
And laundering my image.
And I'm really encouraged by the guys in that group that shared the pain they've gone through. I think it's very healing to share your story. The trauma holds less power over you the more you open up and share about it. And this was posted on Instagram with only 3,600 likes.
God damn. It sucks. It sucks all over. I don't know. What do you think the next move is for old Tim Lambesi?
I think he makes this a tour. He goes on like some sort of speaking tour and Maybe brings an acoustic guitar with him. Does acoustic 94 hours.
Yeah, he just is an acoustic Austrian death machine.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's going to write a book, isn't he?
God damn it. You're going to read it and you're going to talk about it on a bonus show.
You know what? I'm actually not going to. I'm making the oath right now. I will not read his shitty book.
All right, we'll hold you to that. So, boys, we're about at time. Is there anything else we want to go through real quick before we give it a rest here finally?
I think I'm good. We should probably end 80s Straight Edge Hardcore, and we don't need to elaborate on that.
Excellent.
People can tune in next week as we're going to have a very, very, very special interview with someone that literally, if you know anything about heavy metal, you probably know this person.
This is another one of those things where we've been doing this for so long, things are starting to catch up to me.
And it's always you, by the way.
It's just me. So really you'll want to tune in for that one. I don't want to spoil anything, but whoo boy.
We get called out very quickly.
It's like, you know how Jose Mangan knew about us talking shit about him?
Yeah, apparently other people have seen the things that we've done, and I did not think that would ever be the case.
You guys got lucky that one time with Chris
checks
Barnes.
Your ass can't catch.
It won't happen again. All right, everybody. I think that's it from us. So we'll let you go here. Keep it metal. Keep it safe indoors. And we'll see you all next week.
All righty. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Time.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.